Welcome to Promised Land at Home podcast, where we bring people into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and each other. Wherever life has you, we pray that today's sermon both challenges and encourages you. We're so glad you're listening today and hope you enjoy the message.
I want to take a moment right now and just welcome everybody here. We're so thrilled that you are worshiping alongside of us this morning. We just don't take any of it for granted, you know, that you're here. Just look to the person next to you, look to the people all around you. This is our community, and it is just so beautiful and so wonderful that God saw it fit for us to be a part of this community in this time. If I haven't got to meet you, my name is Pastor Emilio, and I am just so thrilled to be here. I want to take a moment and welcome everybody watching online. We love you, and we're so grateful that you have tuned in whenever, wherever. We believe that God has thought about you, that he has a word for you, and that he just loves you so much. And same to everybody in the room. I want to just start by just reading quick notes that I wrote for different people groups in the room. If it's your first time here, first I welcome you. I want to say that we are grateful that you have chosen to join us. I want you to know that you belong in our community way before you believe exactly like our community believes. We believe that it is God's plan for you to be here. Our church is here to serve you and to walk alongside you and to support you in any way we can wherever you are in life. I want to read a quick note that I have for the members of Promised Land, anybody who calls Promised Land home. Our community has been experiencing fantastic growth. A great move of God is happening here, and it is humbling to be a part of. I want to say how proud I am of some of you who have been pushing into what God is doing. I've noticed a handful of people who have stepped into their Jesus era. I've noticed your tender hearts, your worshipful spirits, and your longing and desire for God. You have decided to let go of some things, make sacrifices, and make God your main priority. To those of you choosing to grow within this growing community, I honor you and thank you for your obedience to God. The only reason that we have a growing community is because we have people in that community choosing to grow. And I want to just read a quick note to any people who maybe are in here today and you don't necessarily believe in God, or you feel like you were drug here, or you know, stumbled in here. I want you to know that you aren't here by chance or accident this morning. That whether you believe it or not, God loves you, he believes in you, and he wants you to be here today. I want you to know that God won't pressure you into anything. He's patient, gentle, and kind. And he isn't intimidated by your beliefs, opinions, or questions of him. I believe he wants to speak to you today, and if you allow him to, he will reveal himself to you. I think that we're just so blessed. Pastor Robin said, coming off an amazing Easter, we've been able to share so much time. For those of you who have been here over the past 5 weeks, you've sat under the ministry of Dr. Jeffrey Garner. And I don't know if you're watching, probably not. You're probably preaching in San Francisco. But if you watch this, I just want you to know how incredibly grateful I am for your ministry, for your preaching. And I think I speak on behalf of so many people of our church that says that we are fuller than ever, more passionate than ever, and more excited than ever from what God is doing. And we're thankful for your part in that, Dr. Garner. We've been in this sermon series for some time now in the book of John. We've just kind of been going through John. I'm going to take these off because all I can see is shining lights, but we've been in this book of John for some time, and last week, Easter, we jumped ahead to John chapter 20 so that we could get to kind of the story of the resurrection of Jesus. But if you would allow me to, I'm going to biblically back it up just for a second to where we were in John chapter 6. We're going to be reading from John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15, I believe. But I want us to ask, if you have your Bible this morning, let's open it up. Let's prepare our hearts for the word, and let's jump into what I believe God has for us. John chapter 6, verse 1, and this is what it says. It says, after this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Verse 3, Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then and seeing that a large crowd was coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" Verse 6, he said this to test him, for he himself already knew what he would do. Verse 7, Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in this place. So the man sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost." Verse 13. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets of fragments from the barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Last, verse 15, perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force and make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Today, I want us to jump into this portion of Scripture, and I'm going to ask that you just find yourself in Scripture, that you would just let the word wash over you, that you would ask questions like, what does this scripture have to do with me in my life? How does this impact me? What is speaking to me? The word of God is so powerful. It is transformative. And if you allow it to today, it will have a profound effect on you. Before we go any further, I want us to just pray that the Holy Spirit would come, be with us, and lead us. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I just pray for every person in the room. We're all in here from different walks of life. We've experienced different things. Life has turned us into different things. We're here for different reasons, Holy Spirit, but we just pray that you take complete control of the room. Holy Spirit, that you would do what only you can do, and that's reveal more of Jesus to us than we've ever had before. We give it all to you. We give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And all of God's people said amen. 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 Well, Promise Land Church, I want to tell you something this morning, something that has just really been pressing on my heart. It's something that I've had to walk through and I'm still flushing out in my own understanding and belief of Scripture and God and spirituality and all of that. And that is this, that I do not believe that God is a God of reaction. I don't believe that God is sitting up in heaven waiting on certain behaviors from you in order to react if he is going to bless you or he is going to curse you. I don't think that he has some checklist, and as long as you're doing right, he is going to, you know, give you good, and if you stumble and do bad, that he will give you bad. Now, because of my upbringing and different religions that I was a part of and such, I had this mentality that God was this task manager, that he was just concerned with my behavior, and all he cared about was modifying those behaviors and things along those lines. I've come to learn that God is a lot more of a God of order. God is a lot more a God of not response and reaction, but of planning and of order. I mean, if we go all the way back to creation, we watch God take nothing and turn it into everything that we now know. He is essence of creation. Creation, the thought and the idea of being able to create something, is who he is. I'll prove it to you. Everybody close your eyes for 1 second. Create a new color without using any color that already exists. Don't worry, I'll wait. You don't obtain the ability. Within you is not the potential to create. You can open your eyes and look at me now. It's not going to happen. If you're still trying, let me just break it to you. You're not coming up with no new color. We have the ability as humans to take things that God has already created and maybe modify them or you know, add them together, mix them to have new products. But God is a creator, and he had a plan, a very specific plan of creation. I want you to know that it is my conviction and my belief that even how the body works, the world works, how organisms work together, how we rely on each other, plants and people, and you know, they breathe out what we need to breathe in, and we breathe out what other people need, and some, you know, animals are exist for a sole reason so that we could, you know, have these different relationships all together. This is not by chance. This is not by one kind of happenstance, a big bang. And this is a strategic plan of a loving Father who is also a creator. This is in him, and I believe that God is a God who brings that sort of order. I mean, look at the Old Testament alone. Our Bible is split into two books. We have the Old Testament and the New Testament. One is before the life of Jesus, and then one is the life of Jesus, and then everything moving forward. And in the Old Testament, before Jesus was born, there was so much type and shadow. There were so many references, prophecies, words spoken about this Messiah, about Jesus. And it is believed that over the course of Jesus's life in 33 years, he fulfilled over 300 prophecies as he walked the earth. They were fulfillments, things that were spoken about him in his life hundreds, if not thousands of years before he ever existed. He walked into that because God is a God of planning, and God is a God of order, and God is a God who can bring that order and that planning into any situation of your life. And I think that that scripture that we read today is a perfect example of how an order God can bring that order in. Now, it's this interesting thing, it's this powerful thing, but as I was reading this scripture, I began to do what some of you have heard us talk about called Lectio Divina. It's an ancient way of studying scripture that we were taught over the last few weeks. And it's where you read scripture. You'll read the same passage 3-4 times. And you really just are patient. You slow down and you wait to see what God is trying to teach you in this portion of scripture. And I feel like in this story that we read today, though there was hundreds of different directions we could have gone, there was something very specific that God spoke to me and that it ministered to me. And I want to just over the next few minutes speak those same words to you. But we jump into this scripture, and it seems like they just got done doing a lot of great things, Jesus and his disciples. And they notice that this large crowd is coming, and they're gathering, and they have a problem. There's actually two groups of people, and both of them have a problem. The first group of people is the disciples. And Jesus asked the disciples, "Where can we buy enough bread to feed all these people?" The first problem that we see for this group is that they are now tasked with feeding over 5,000 people. Even in today's world and market and economy, that is a huge task. The second group of people that we see are 5,000 plus people coming that are hungry, that haven't eaten all day, and they're looking for some nourishment. They've been walking, they're weary. And we see these problems, and it's kind of brewing, and it's on the horizon. Like, what are we going to do? And I insert myself into the story at this moment, and I say, there are problems that I also have. There are problems that we all have at different points in our life and places in our life. And if we were to get kind of very honest and specific, they're all problems or situations that we are walking in even right now. You walked in here this morning, and I want to challenge you over the next few moments to keep the things that you are looking for answers for God from at the forefront of your mind. Some problems, maybe they're emotional problems. Maybe they are family issues. Maybe they are hurtful things from your past. Maybe there are some unforgiveness things that are in your heart. Maybe there are, you're like these people and you are tasked to feed more mouths or care for more people or be stretched in different areas more than you feel like you're capable of. Maybe you're like the crowd who is coming, and this morning you are weary. You are hungry, maybe physically hungry, spiritually hungry. You are tired. You are exhausted. You've kind of gone through trials and gone through tribulations. Whatever it is, what they have in common, these two two groups is they both have problems and they both come into contact with Jesus. And I want to point out, as I was reading what I feel like stood out to me the most, I want to catch up with scripture here in verse 5. Verse 5, it says, lifting up his eyes, then seeing a large crowd was coming, Jesus said to Philip, here's where both problems are introduced. Where are we going to buy so that these people may have food to eat? Boom, both problems enter right there. Now the disciples are tasked with having enough food for 5,000, and we get knowledge that these people are hungry. Here's where we enter ourselves into the story today. This is where you jump in. What problems, what situations, what things on your heart, what things that are keeping you up at night, what things that are causing you grief, tears, or anxiety, what things that are heavy or weighing you down, what is that? Where are you in verse 5? But listen to verse 6, the good news of this passage. Jesus says, he said this to them to test him, for he himself already knew what he would do. This morning, I want to maybe remind some of you, and for others, tell you for the first time that you are serving a God who already knows what he is going to do. You have a God who is all-knowing and all-powerful, and he already has a plan for whatever it is that you are walking through. You are not alone. The Bible says he will never leave you, nor will he forsake you, and he is faithful and good to finish any work that he begins in your life. Can I tell you this morning that we can have a little pep in our step, that we can wake up and throw some praise music on and have a little joy in our day, knowing that my God already knows what he is going to do. Your God already knows what he's going to do. Even when we don't. You know why he knows what he's going to do? Because our God is great. I don't think we take enough time in our day, take enough time in our prayer to just simply remind ourselves how great God is. I mean, we spent a whole week last week coming up here. You put on your best suit, you shine your nice shoes, and you wake up early, you take a picture with the cross, and you do this big post on Instagram and Facebook talking about Jesus is risen, and it's so true. The reason he's risen is because he's powerful. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. Your God is great. He's great and greatly to be praised. Every day we can say, great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Regardless of what I'm looking at, great are you, Lord. So what does the greatness of God have to do with us? My God is great, therefore I do not have to be in control. But I think that at times when we lose sight of how great God really is, we take it upon ourselves to try to grab control of whatever situation's in front of us. And what we say whenever we want control of these things is, hey, I can do this better than you can. That my ways are better, that my ways are more powerful, that the way that I work, God, you don't know how much I hit Gold's Gym. I can handle this. But anything that we think that we place ourselves above God in, what we're saying is God is not really as great as he is in our life. We strip him of the majesty, of the power, of the magnitude of his name, of the works of crucifixion, of the overcoming of death, everything that he endured and everything that he overcame. All of his greatness, who he is, his creator, the way that he loves us, everything that embodies God is great. And because God is great, I can lift up my hands and I don't have to be in control. I can be like that one country singer who says, Jesus, take the wheel, because I know that he is a better driver than I am. He's going to take me to better places than I would take myself. He's going to do it in a more gracious way than I would. We have to trust that God is great. How would our lives look if we lived our life every day understanding and knowing and reminding ourselves and telling ourselves, telling our spouses, telling our kids, telling our friends that my God is great. He's great. And so I don't have to be in control. I can give up control. And that's not easy. We don't like to be in a place where we don't have control. So much of life and culture and everything that we experience tells us that we have to be in control. We have to be in control for our mental health and our mental peace and to be liberated and to live free. You have to get control. And believe me, I know. I'm an Enneagram 1. I know this better than anyone. I mean, order and control and following rules, like, that is my jam. That's where I find my comfort. But in places where I am able to have complete control, there's no need for God. And where there's no need for God, there shouldn't be really space for me either. Your God is great. So you don't have to be in control. You think about the amazing things, even in us talking about creation just a moment ago, and you know, all the things that God has done and brought forth. I mean, you think about the stars and the galaxies and black holes and planets, and not only does he create planets, but he created the correct gravitational pull for planets to sit right where they need to sit. You think about how the body works and how different neurons from the brain can fire and talk to other parts of our body, and they have thoughts and we have feelings and we have emotions. We're moved with compassion, all these things that we can't see, yet they are happening. The intricacies of God, the intentionality of God, how much God does and how big he is. And then we stop for a second to think that even all of that we know about God and how great God actually is, how humbling should it be to know that that God, the God with all that power and all that might and all that majesty, has a plan for you? Do you take time throughout your day and throughout your week to realize that God has a plan for you? Not for just the person sitting next to you. You know, my wife, whenever I preach messages, we have conversations about them. And you know, the other day she kind of called me out in a loving way, of course. And she said, you know, when you preach, there's oftentimes that you use a lot of the same scripture references kind of when you start going or you go off kind of script. And I was like, okay, like what? Like, you know, I was like defensive, of course. All husbands, come on now, give me an amen. But like in a loving way, so I don't like get mad right away, but inside I'm like, ooh, okay, thin ice, girl, thin ice. But she started telling me like, hey, you really use this scripture and this and this. And I was like, you know, you're actually kind of right. There are these scriptures that have been really transformative for me in my life and that have really, like, I've come across them and they've either been mind-blowing or they've really ministered to me. And there's certain scriptures that a lot are about, like, affirmation and different things that, you know, I have a great pastor in my life that I work things out. I've seen counselors, and so I know that affirmation's a thing that I'm still working through. Come on, amen, somebody. But for that reason and for many others, I know that these scriptures really speak to me. And so there are these scriptures that I've come across that say, like, the thoughts that God has for me outnumber the grains of sand that are in the earth. Scriptures like he has the number of hairs on your head counted. Scriptures that say, you know, when you were still a sinner, when you weren't worth anything, I loved you and I died for you. And I think about all the things that God has going on, you know? I mean, like, if you think you're busy, like, you have not seen God's calendar, right? Like, but for some reason, like, he thought it'd be good enough, like, I'm good enough for him to come up with a plan for. Like, God's out here trying to come up with plans for, like, whole people groups, whole nations, worlds. Yet he loves me so much and he loves you so much that he's like, but I'm also going to have a plan for you. Like, you're worth that to God. Like whatever it is that you're going through, God already knows what he's going to do because he loves you and he sees value in you. The intentionality of God is so humbling. I just feel like such a need right now to just kind of let that soak in for somebody, because you've walked through your whole life thinking that you're nobody, that you're not worth anything, that you've messed up, you've sinned too much, you've gone too far, that you're just another one of 7 billion, one of 8 billion, that just, there's no difference, there's no purpose for your life. I I know that I'm speaking to somebody this morning that you've even contemplated what's the point of continuing life. Like, it just seems so mundane, so routine. Has anybody ever told you that the creator of everything saw you worthy enough to have a plan for? And that whatever it is that you're going through right now, he already knows what he's going to do. I know there's a simplicity to this message this morning, but it resonated on my heart so much. God already knows what he's going to do. You've been losing sleep about it. You've been stressed about it. You've cried about it. You've prayed about it. You've complained about it. You've gossiped about it. You've journaled about it. It has cost you so much. It has hurt you so much. You're so confused and you're beside yourself. But I believe God sent me here this morning for one reason. He made us come into contact. He brought you into this worship space for one reason this morning. And that's to let you know God already knows what he's going to do. Listen to this. Really quick. I think that the only step of faith that I have for you this morning is to take a step of obedience. And I don't know what that looks like for you. For some of you, that's committing your life to Jesus because you've never done that before. For some of you, in a little bit, when we open up our altars to prayer, that's going to be for you to come down and get some prayer, you know, have someone take you by the hand and tell you they believe in you and they're going to stand in the gap with you through these things. I don't know. Maybe it's recommitting your life. Maybe some of you need to leave church today and have a conversation with your spouse and really apologize and get some things ironed out and figured out and have some good communication or ask for forgiveness for some things. I don't know what that step of faith is, but watch this part. Let me just share this with you really quick in the few minutes that I have left. It says in verse 11, then Jesus took the loaves, and when he gave thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. Verse 11, I'm going to read it one more time. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. Remember, earlier in scripture, Jesus told the disciples, have everybody sit down. Then it says that when it came time for him to pass out the blessing, for him to pass out the food, for him to divvy up the goodness of himself to everybody, it says he gave it to everybody who was sitting down. The fact that the Bible makes the reference in there that he only gave it to those who were sitting down leads me to believe that there were some people there that day that were still standing. Jesus says to sit down, and some people had the response, no, I'm good. I'll stand. But the Bible lets us know that when it came time for people to get blessed, the only people who partook in the blessing were the people who were obedient to God and sat down when he asked them to sit down. Sometimes we go through life when we wrestle with God and we have all these thoughts and why is this happening or what's going on or I'm so angry or I'm stuck in my sin and I have these sinful cycles and I want to be a good person but then I fall short and all the things that I want to do, I don't do and everything that I do want to do, I don't do. God, why is this happening to me? Why do you have it out for me? What is going on? And God's looking at you saying, but you're not sitting down. You're not partaking in the plan that I have for your life because you're trying to do things on your own, because you still want control. I'm giving you direction. I'm giving you guidance. I'm telling you, go this way. Don't be friends with that person. Break up with that person. Be careful around this situation. Look, here's some guidance here and here's some guidance here. Take this path because it's easier. My grace is sufficient for you here, yet you want to do everything on your own. And I believe that God is telling some of you this morning that all you have to do is just sit down, because when you're seated, it's not a position of progress. It's not a position of getting things done. It's not a posture that would say that I'm going to be very successful. It is actually when you're resting, you're off your feet, you're not doing much. But God is trying to tell some people in here this morning that it's in the posture of sitting down and trusting me where you will actually find that I already have a plan and a solution for whatever it is that is going on in your life. I've already spoken a word. I've already given you a voice. I've already given you a place. If you would just sit down, you'll partake in the blessing that I have for you. I want you to know this. Don't forget what God has already done. You need to know that put it in full context. I have like 3 minutes. Put it in full context. The disciples have already been through so much. They've seen Jesus turn water into wine. They've seen Jesus heal people. They've seen Jesus forgive people. They've seen Jesus move with compassion. They've seen so much happen in this moment. They watched Jesus save them, yet all of a sudden fish and loaves is too big of a problem for him. How much of that is us? Like when we think about where we were before we knew God and the things that God has pulled us out of and the way that he's taken care of us, the favor that he's placed on our life, the fact that you still have air in your lungs right now and that's put there by God, but you want to think that whatever you're going through is too big of a deal for him? Like he can't do it? Like he hasn't already done it before? And if he's faithful then, like he won't be faithful again? I want you to know the Bible says that my God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he has done it once, if he has saved you once, if he's cleaned you up once, if he's forgiven you once, that he is faithful and just to do it again. Let's not get anointed amnesia. Let's not all of a sudden forget all the good things that God has done for us. Let's understand that the goodness of God was there then and the goodness of God is here now, and it will be there forever and ever and ever. Amen. He's gonna get you through it. I'm looking at some people in the eyes because I want you to know God already has a plan for you. He already knows what he is going to do. Will you stand with me for just a moment? I want to turn your attention really quick to the screens. I want to tell you a quick story that my wife and I, we had a baby 6 months ago. This is young Judah here. And, you know, my son, this is my first son, and he has brought so much to my life. So much joy, so much love, so much chaos. You know, when you talk to someone and you try to tell them your relationship with your newborn, you sound like a crazy person, okay? Because you're like, I love this thing more than anything, but I also want to rip my hair out of my head sometimes. And I don't know how that works, but it's just the reality of life. But Judah has taught us so much, you know, and I've read some books and I've been trying to learn. We dove in it. My wife lives on TikTok now, 4 month TikToks, 4 or 5 month baby TikToks, like all that. We're in it. You know, we recently just bought this new food processor because he's going to start eating, you know, baby food. And we want to boil it and blend it and all that. I would like to buy a jar, but you know, whatever. But Judah, man, he's taught us so much, and I bring him up because, you know, we had so much to learn so quickly with Judah, and we had him, and we spent, you know, a couple nights in the NICU, and that's a story for another time, but we brought him home, and immediately, we just learned so much. You know, whenever you're in school, and your parents are like, make sure to get a lot of sleep, because, you know, you can only learn good whenever you sleep a lot. Yeah, well, we haven't slept in 6 months, and I'm still learning a ton, so I don't believe that at all, okay? You can learn tired. I'm a testimony of that. And anyways, but Judah, at 6 months, he's starting to kind of communicate and understand some things, but he obviously can't speak. He can't make full sentences. But Judah has, like, a lot of desires. He gets hungry. He needs diaper changes a lot, like a lot, like, you know, a lot. And he gets hungry a lot and, you know, other things. He gets sleepy. He gets fussy. The other day, 2 mornings ago, we woke up and he was developing this really bad cough. And I actually thought it was my wife coughing, right? Because it was so deep. And I was checking on her. She's like, that wasn't me. That was Judah. And I was like, why does he sound like a 70-year-old smoker all of a sudden, right? It was bad. It was kind of scary. And he doesn't know what to do. So last night he cried all night. I mean, all night he was crying. We were up till 4 or 5 in the morning. And you know, like he's trying to give us these desires. And we quickly learned when we had Judah that we couldn't just do whatever we wanted when it came to Judah. Like, and so all of a sudden, you know, we started packing these diaper bags and we got to think everything out when it comes to Judah. So we're like, okay, if we're going to be out this long, then that means we're going to need like 2 containers of formula. And we're going to need like 2 bottles, fill them up with 7 ounces. We feed them every 4 hours. We give them 7 ounces. And we'll need need X amount of diapers because, you know, this is the time period we're going to be out. And, oh, don't forget to pack the wipes because, you know, you always need wipes. And give them an extra change of clothes in there, too, because sometimes babies drool or they explode or whatever it is. And you need an extra change of clothes. And there's all these things. And so every time before we leave, we think about all this stuff. All this, he just got his six-month shot. So why don't we drop some Tylenol in the bag because we might have to give him some Tylenol. We're thinking about every situation that could possibly happen with Judah. And so when it comes time for Judah to have his need, let me tell you this. Judah has never attempted to make his own bottle. Judah has never attempted to change his own diaper. Judah has never had to change his own clothes. He's never had to brush his hair. He's never had to give himself a bath. All he has to do whenever he has a need is begin to cry out to his father and trust that his father has already come up with a plan for what he's going to need in that moment. All he has to do is just lift his hand. He's beginning to recognize us. Because Judah and I and my wife have spent so much time together, now when Judah sees me, he knows he can reach his hands out to me. When he was young, he didn't know. He didn't know who I was. I was just a source of food for him. But now I'm his dad, and he can trust that whatever I have been doing, it is in preparation to give him the best situation, to help him through whatever need he has, to get him through whatever valley, to help him overcome any mountain or swim through any river. And I don't know about you, but some of you in here need to stop with all the success, need to stop with all the hurt, and you need to act like a six-month-old when it comes to God and begin to cry out, lift your hands, and trust that your God already has a plan for you. He's been working it out. He's thought about everything that you've thought about, and he's thought about everything that you haven't, and he loves you so much because he sees so much value in you. Can you just trust that your God already knows what he is going to do? I want to pray for some of you right now, every head bowed, every eye closed. And if there's anyone in here this morning and you say, Pastor Emilio, I want to take that step of faith today, maybe for the first time. I want to put my faith in Jesus. I want to trust God with my life. I want to trust him. I want to make him Lord and Savior, if that's you. Or if there's anybody in here this morning, say, you know what? I used to follow God. I've backslidden. I've fallen. And I want to recommit my life to Jesus. I want to take that step of faith and trust that he has a plan for me. Trust that he loves me. Third group of people that I want to pray for this morning. If you're in here and you're saying, Pastor Emilio, you don't know the type of stuff I have going on in my life. I don't even want to share it all because I don't know if I could say some of these words in a church. And today, I'm willing to take a chance in trusting the plans of God. If any of those three are you, you want to commit to the first time, you want to recommit to Christ, or you want to trust in his plan for your life, every head bowed, every eye closed, will you quickly put your hand up and put it right back down? Just put it up and put it right back down. Just lift it. And this is your declaration of faith. This is your way of saying, I'm going to sit down before the Lord. I'm going to trust. I'm just going to be seated. I know that he has me. He's taking care of me. He's got me. And everybody, whether you lifted your hand or not, I'm going to ask that everybody praise this prayer in support of all the people that prayed. Come on, repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, we make you Lord of our life. We submit to your plans. We know that your plans are higher than our plans, are better than our plans. You are the Lord of my life. Have your way with me. In Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Come on, can we clap for everybody that made that decision today?
Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget, we want to connect with you. You can find us on Facebook and YouTube by searching Promised Land San Marcos, on Instagram at PSM Church, or on our website, psmchurch.com. Thanks again for listening to the Promised Land at Home podcast.